Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
All right, let's pray. Father, I'll start off with those not written down so I don't forget. Lifting up Ken to you, Marcos, Daniel's son's godfather, and Lord, it sounds pretty horrendous. Certainly not beyond your ability or scope of intervention at all. And Lord, we ask that, and Lord, humbly asking you to invade that situation. Lord, as he's got fluid in his lungs and kidney issues and so much going on that, and then wife is sick to boot. And so, Lord, we pray for them that you would be just pouring out your mercy and your best, Lord, for them. Same thing with their brother Joe Colaccio. Wife Charlene trying to help out and being now stuck in a wheelchair for a time herself, and Joe getting ready to go on a feeding tube. And Lord, these are times that can bring discouragement, but Lord, we pray that you would just infuse them with courage, Lord, and bring encouragement to them and your merciful touch to these two precious refuge saints. And Lord, one of which, our brother Chet, Lord, in your infinite wisdom, have allowed him to finish out in that worn-out body and relocate to his home with you in heaven, Lord. So thank you for welcoming our brother, making a way for him, preparing a place, Lord, for him, as you promise in your word. Lord, you also promised to be a comforter, and so we pray that for his wife, Mary Jo, and other family members, but Lord, certainly especially a spouse, when your life's partner is gone, even though it's for a season, but Lord, not knowing how many seasons that will be, Lord, she needs encouragement from you. So Lord, please provide that. And Lord, as she chooses to still minister with her drama for the ladies' luncheon, God, we pray you just would bless that and anoint that. And Lord, she would be encouraged just by the impact that that has on the women here, Lord. So bless her as she takes that step, Lord, and continues on with her ministry, Lord, in drama. Father, we here in the sign, Rin's in the background. It's a good segue into our brother Ed's prayer request for our first responders. Lord, constantly out there in harm's way for a variety of reasons on a day-to-day basis, Lord, but harm's way nonetheless. And so, Lord, we thank you for that part of our community. And Lord, praying that not only that you'd bless them and watch over them, but Lord, as we as a church have reached out to them on a yearly basis and just provided different gifts and words of encouragement and just the awareness that we're praying for them, Lord, we pray that that would have an impact on their souls. And Lord, again, bless them. Same with our vets, Lord, and our active military, Lord, reserves, Lord, as we have many of those in our church, Lord, thank you for them. We pray your blessing upon them and their families as well, Father. And then, Lord, as much goes on in the political realm on a daily basis, and Lord, there's this constant awareness of our sinful nature, Lord, the very nature that you've redeemed us from, but Lord, not kept in check. It just goes south so quick. And sadly, Lord, we have many that are in government that are serving self. And so, Lord, we pray for a revival there, Lord, certainly for our nation, our community, but in our nation's capital, Lord, just a radical change people getting saved and then transformed, Lord. Use your people, Lord, the few that are there, use them, Lord, to not change minds politically, but to draw people to Jesus first and foremost, God. Just anoint them, protect them, enable them, Lord, to do that. And then, Lord, in that same district in our capital, Lord, just across the street as the Supreme Court is weighing out this decision from the 70s of Roe versus Wade, Lord, we pray for the unborn, Lord, to finally be recognized as an unborn child. Lord, something so obvious and yet something so hidden. So, Lord, we pray for a change there as well. And, Lord, for Pastor Bill in the Shepherd of Bethlehem, different places, Minnesota and Missouri and Florida, Lord, we that have seen it know it has the ability to impact a heart, to draw people to your son Jesus, Lord. And I know that's why Bill does it, is simply for that reason, not to entertain, but to use drama to bring people to your son. And so, Lord, we pray that that would be the case, Lord, that there would be much fruit in that, and God, that you'd have your hand on his travels and bring him back safely. Lord, we pray, lastly, that tonight, as we dig into your word, very rich portion of your word, Lord, all your word is great, but it varies in what it is and the genre of it. And Lord, this is just so rich in doctrine in these early parts of Ephesians. And so, Lord, we pray for just minds to receive it, Lord. We know it's not about IQ. It's just about an open heart, Lord. So we present ourselves to you and say, Father, speak to our hearts later tonight that we might hear from you. Lord, we want to hear words of life. We want spiritual ears to hear. And so we pray for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. But we're going to dig into the book of books tonight in Ephesians chapter 1 and finish up chapter 1 with our brother Marty. So let's welcome brother Marty.
Right, brothers. We ready for this? Yeah. So a question, I kind of brought it up a little bit last night in church. It's that this season, have you caught the on wonder of God? Have you caught the on wonder of God this Christmas season? Have you done that this season? I know last night I kind of mentioned that the on wonder of God is not something that we have to go looking very far for. We don't have to get our fishing tackle together, right? We don't have to put it in a bag and get up early in the morning and get to that fishing pond and throw out a hook and hope that we'll catch a fish. But no, the on wonder of God is something that happens every single time we open up God's word. He reveals himself to us. And that's what this is all about here. In fact, Ephesians, as we're turning there to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be starting in about verse 15 tonight. But we're going to do a quick recap of what we've really been seeing up to this point. And I'll tell you, on wonder really describes what we've been learning in these first 14 verses. In fact, if you look at the first thing, first 1 through 14, we're going to find that these first 14, we have this treasure chest, we're told. Paul tells we have this treasure chest of tools and blessings that we have in Christ. As a review, it says in verse 3 that God has blessed us with every, not some, but every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Ah, wonder, right? Every spiritual blessing you need is found in Christ. Verse 4, God made a choice. Can you believe that? to choose us in Christ. And when did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. Why? Look there. It says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That means God provided the means by which we are to live a blameless life before him in love. That means no guilt, no condemnation, and because of Jesus, we live for an eternity before God in love. On wonder, right? Are you getting it? Are you feeling it? Verse 5 and 6, God also chose to adopt us as his sons. You know, he didn't have to adopt us, right, to save us. He didn't have to adopt us to save us. He could have sent Jesus, died on this cross for our sins, but God loves us so much that he chose us to adopt us in his family. In fact, Paul says it pleased God and we are accepted into his family. We are his beloved, deeply loved and cherished by God. I'll tell you, this is awe and wonder. I am personally blown away by this every single time. And very quickly, verse 7, we are then redeemed through his blood. We are forgiven by the riches of his grace. We have an eternal inheritance in God's kingdom. And verse 13, Paul states that these treasures, see, that we have in Christ, man, they are eternally secure. They're in the BOH, not B of A, Bank of America, but in the Bank of Heaven. No man, no being can take these away. Why? Because look at verse 13. Because we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is God's guarantee of our future inheritance in the Holy Spirit that lives inside of every believer. Men, do you feel the awe? Do you feel the wonder? Paul's saying, man, you Ephesians, you men of God, you've got it all in Christ. So the question is, where's the problem? If we have everything we need in Christ, where's the problem? So that's the question that Paul will try and explain in these next few verses. Already? Verse 15. Paul writes, therefore, in other words, in light of all these things that we have in Christ, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Heavenly Father, your word, Lord, is just, man, just so rich, so encouraging, just so wise, Lord. We cannot, though, have it begin to change our lives or transform us without you working in us. So, Father, we just ask that you do that work in us tonight. Do that deep work in our hearts. Father, change our mindsets. Mold us and change our priorities that we have in life, that we become more like the likeness of your Son, Jesus. And this we pray, amen. So verse 15 again, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You know, even though Paul planted the church in Ephesus, he stayed with them about, 2.5, they say 3 years. Paul continued, though, to pray for the Ephesians. Paul had, it says, heard or gotten word of their continued growth. That is, their faith in Jesus Christ. The Ephesians were see a very healthy church. And the health of the church was being displayed in the love that was displayed for all the saints. It says, love for all the saints there. Did you get that? Love for all the saints. This should always be our first fruits as believers, the love they see coming from us. Now, in our past studies, we've talked about who the saints were. Saints here just means that they're ones set apart for God. Since we are all God's children, set apart for Him, set apart for His purposes, we are all considered saints as believers in Jesus Christ. Notice Paul writes that your love for all the saints, and not just some of the saints. It's not just those saints that we have the most in common with, or just those saints that happen to look a certain way, but they're those saints that sometimes get on our nerves, right? We're to be loving those people. Some you may not like their jokes that they tell up here. Some you might not like what they drink because it's smelly, coffee or something, and you're a tea drinker. But love is what must always define us as God's children. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 13, starting in verse 34, that a new commandment, Jesus says, I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is what defines us as followers of Christ. Amen. And love that is to be extended then to all peoples. I'm certain that Paul prayed for their continued growth and love and maturity, and that their awe and wonder of God then would never fade. So Paul never, it says he never ceased to give thanks to God for them in his prayers. So what else did Paul pray about, you may ask? Well, let's see. Verse 17. He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, and here it is, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul prayed that God would give the Ephesians the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I'll tell you, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it, guys? How many of you would want the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him? Yeah, me too. But what exactly is it? Let's break it down a little bit, okay? Two things. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Let's look at this first word for a moment, the word spirit. The word spirit here, though, isn't used to what we're used to seeing. Paul isn't talking about the Holy Spirit here. In the original Greek, pneuma, which it means spirit, is used here without the article. It isn't the Holy Spirit, meaning the one and only Holy Spirit. Here in this passage, spirit might be better translated, an attitude or a desire. Maybe you're back from the 60s and you think of someone that you knew and you see him out there dancing in the park or dancing in the rain. And you say, man, they have a free spirit, right? A free attitude, this desire, right? Or maybe you in your high school had what was called Spirit Week. Any of you guys in your colleges had Spirit Weeks? Yeah, we used to get those little ribbons that you'd wear, and you'd wear the school colors, and we'd go, rah, rah, rah. For us, it was Kennedy High School, always against Savannah back then. We had a lot of rivals. But you know what? It was that spirit. It's that attitude of support your team, support your school. That's what that's the whole nature of Paul's prayer here. Is the nature of Paul's prayer here is that God would reveal to the Ephesian church both the wisdom of who they are in Christ and what they already possess in Christ. And this is the problem that we have that Paul is praying about. See, we can have this treasure chest, these riches that we have in Christ, and never open the chest, never open the toolbox. Imagine yourself, you're in your garage, okay? You're in your garage, and there's a huge tool chest there. Man, it's filled with every single tool you need, screwdrivers and wrenches and sockets. And suddenly you go, okay, I have to hammer in a nail, and you grab a soda can that's right next to you and start pounding in on the nail. Why wouldn't you go to the toolbox, grab the hammer, and hammer in the nail? You know what? We're not using the right tool for the right job. God's saying that, you know what? God gives us these gifts. He gives us these things that we have in Christ. He gives us forgiveness so we won't be burdened with guilt and shame. We don't have to worry about condemnation. Paul writes in Romans, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, use the tools that are in your toolbox. Don't feel the guilt. Don't feel the shame. But men, I'll tell you, are you as stubborn as me? I'm really stubborn. I try to fix things myself rather than going to God first. I have this constant prayer and communication with God that's available to me 24/7 at my disposal for comfort, for peace, and direction from God's word. Yet, because of my broken nature, I tend to seek those things outside the treasure chest instead of looking into the box for direction. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes that though his divine power that is in Christ, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You know, this toolbox, it isn't something that comes out over time. From the moment we are saved, we are given these tools to use for God's glory, for God's purposes. God has in and through Christ given us all these things we need that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need, guys, men. They're in the tool chest. They're our treasures. Everything we need to live a godly life is in the toolbox, is in Christ. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was not to get something more, not to get something that they needed, but rather that God would reveal to them and to us tonight what we already have in Christ. Starting in verse 18, Paul is now going to make three specific requests and prayers. And they're going to be these things. They're going to be hope, riches, yeah, you guys like these so far, and power. Hope, riches, and power. But when we hear these words alone, they're not what you think. Let's break it down. Verse 17. Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Remember, this is Paul's prayer, that they might know who they are in Christ and what they already possess in Christ. Going on, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, in other words, that after you have fully understood who you are in Christ and the riches you possess in your toolbox, that, number one, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that, number three, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Hope, riches, power. First, hope. All of us men, all of us need hope if we're to survive in this world, right? When we were young, we might have hoped to get on the football team. We might have hoped to get the lead role in the school musical. Or as men, we might just hope that some woman, any woman, would just, man, as a man, would notice us for who we are and just like us. And as we get older, we might hope for that big promotion. We hope to get married someday and have kids and raise a family. And we hope that somewhere in this crazy world, we'll find unconditional love, true happiness, and satisfaction. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians and for us tonight is that we might know that we have complete confidence what the hope of his calling is. Paul's saying, oh, Ephesians, man, guys, if you only knew what God has planned out for your life, you would suddenly never doubt. You would never worry again. Oh, man, if you only knew, could fathom the depths of God's love for you, you would never look for love in a computer screen again. You would never go looking for escape in a bottle of booze. You would never, never go into those drugs that would make you escape from reality. Oh, Ephesians. Oh, men, if you only knew what God had planned for your life, how everything that he does in your life, it's for our good, our spiritual growth, our maturity in him. Oh, brothers, if you only knew the hope of his calling, God has a plan and a purpose for every believer. If you only knew that you were chosen before the foundations of the world, how you are adored, how you are forgiven, how you are justified. See, God's hope gives all believers the confidence, expectation that our Lord will return one day and fix all the brokenness of this world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Paul's saying, man, if you could only understand this hope we have in Christ and know the hope we have in his calling. Number two, that we might know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Did you catch that? Notice this is not what we covered in verse 11, where the riches are our inheritance we have in Christ. Paul is not talking about our inheritance that we have in Christ, but rather it's God's inheritance that he has in us. I'll tell you, when I think about that, I think God got the short end of the stick. Do you see that? God sees us as his inheritance. Paul prays that we should know, men, how valued we are by God. We are his riches. We are his pearl of great price. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7, that we have this treasure in our earthen vessels, broken that they may be, right? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Although we may devalue ourselves, we may call ourselves useless or meaningless or broken or these chipped clay pots, God uses us, sees us as beautiful, his adored. We are his conduit to the world to display his power, to display his love to the world, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ and his hope to the world. Paul says, first, you got to know. You've got to know the hope of his calling. You've got to know the value that you have in God, that he has in you, that you are his treasure. You are his inheritance. And then number three, power. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Then Paul finishes by telling us what type of power this is. This power is according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Power. But did you catch what type of power that was? It was the power, look there, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Question, brothers, what was the work that God did in Christ when he raised him from the dead? It's called resurrection power. And who can do that but God alone? And what is the power that seated him at the right hand in heavenly places? That's called ascension power. Who can place someone on the right hand of God but God alone? First, God raised Jesus from the dead, resurrection power. Then God ascended Jesus to heaven. That's ascension power. Paul wants us to know that we have the power of God at our disposal when we seek him. He writes later, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible for God. And we have that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father at our disposal, in our treasure chest, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have the power of God behind our prayers, guiding our lives, protecting our loved ones. And this is all according to his will. Truly, the power, love, and humility of God
is best displayed by Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection there on the cross. Think about it. God's power for a moment. On wonder. At our disposal. According to his will. Always that. God's power. At our disposal. But according to his will. The problem is we forget. Or men, we forget to open up that toolbox. I was very convicted when I went through this part of the passage. I'll tell you, I've always thought of myself as a prayer warrior. I wanted to think I was a prayer warrior. And I pray a lot for people. But I'm more like a prayer drone. And by that, what I mean is when I hear someone with a problem, I pray for them. My wife, my kids have a problem. Rarely do I pray for someone before they ask for it. That's not a prayer warrior. A warrior engages in the battle. How many of you know what I mean? How many of you understand that we need to be prayer warriors because we fight a real battle out there? Are you with me? How many of you men want to be prayer warriors in 2022? Yeah, real prayer warriors in 22. Then open up the toolbox, men. Make a list and start praying. Remember, it's God's power. It's the power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. That should leave us in awe and wonder. It's the power that it took to ascend him into heaven. And it's all in our treasure chest. All, even closer than that, in our tool belt. We don't have to even get up to go into the garage. Just pray, man. Just pray frequently. You know, James says that the fervent prayers of righteous men avail much. And I truly believe in prayer. Just think of how our lives would change, our families would change. If we got together as men and we started to become those warriors we want to. That we take the battle to the world. And we engage in those areas where we see we're losing. When we look at entertainment in the world. And yes, there are a lot of good Christian artists coming up right now. Fighting back. We need to fight back with them in prayer. Amen. Paul finishes up kind of this prayer section in verse 22. And he, that is God, put all things under his feet, that is Jesus, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul just summed up his prayer by saying, you know what, Jesus, he's the CEO, he's the head of the church, but Jesus, you know, he's also the source. He's the source of all hope. He is the source of all comfort. It is in him that we find all things that we need to live a godly life. In Jesus Christ and in him alone, we find everything that we need. Paul prays that the Ephesians and that our eyes might be opened up tonight. So open up that treasure chest and see who we are in Christ. And see and know what we have in Christ. And what do we have? We have that hope of his calling. Man, that promise of God that if you only knew what God had in plan for you. Nothing but good things planned. Nothing but things that will make us grow and mature in him. Things to bring him glory. If you only knew that, Second thing, to know how much you are highly valued by God as his inheritance. And Paul say we are to use for God's glory, the power of God that we have at his disposal as we surrender then our lives fully to him. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father. Well, I'll tell you, Lord, you did it again. On wonder coming from your word. Father, do a mighty work in us this Christmas. Lord, remind us of the blessings and the resources we have in Christ. Change us, Lord, into those prayer warriors we desire to be. Give us comfort and patience where we need understanding. Lord, take away the veil from the clutter that comes with life. And Lord, just keep our eyes on you this Christmas. So, Father, do this work in us, would you, Father? Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for sending him to save us. Lead us and guide us now in your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.